Hi, welcome to Speaking of Sex with the Pleasure Mechanics. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We are the Pleasure Mechanics, and on this podcast, we offer our expert advice so you can have an extraordinary sex life. You can suggest a topic for future episodes by heading over to pleasuremechanics.com, where you will also find our complete podcast archive, as well as our premium online multimedia courses. When you are ready to level up your sex life, use the code SPEAKINGOFSEX for 20% off the online course of your choice. On this episode, we are going to be reflecting upon the past 10 years. Today, October 21st, 2016, is our 10-year anniversary. And it's our anniversary not only as a couple, but as a business, because really, as soon as we got together, we started laying the groundwork and sowing the seeds and building the foundation for Pleasure Mechanics. It technically started 3 months after we started dating, but really from that first date, from our first kiss, the foundation was set, don't you think?
Yeah, I think we were talking about collaborating and creating from the beginning. There was that resonance.
So we talked about how we met and how we got together on episode 100. So we're not going to repeat that. Go back into our podcast archive at pleasuremechanics.com and check out episode 100 for the full, explicit, no-holds-barred conversation about how we got into this work, how we got together, and how we started Pleasure Mechanics. But today we want to really reflect on our relationship, these 10 years that we've shared full of love and growth and creating together, and what we've learned about love and relationships by being in one together.
Yeah, and hopefully what can be useful for you to bring to your relationship or to reflect on so that you can have a better relationship too. We are always learning.
You know, I really remember we took a walk along the river in Philadelphia. It was, I think, a few months, maybe 6 months into our relationship. We had started Pleasure Mechanics, and we were talking about what it meant to be in a relationship while being sex educators together and running a business about sex. And I remember saying, you know, the business right now, we started by talking about sexual techniques primarily, and we started creating these videos about prostate massage and hand jobs. But I knew at that point that we would also be talking about love and relationships, because you can't really talk about sex without talking about who you're having sex with and your relationship with that person. And I remember really saying to you, if we're going to do this together, we need to commit to being in a love laboratory. We need to have our relationship be the testing grounds and be a proving grounds for everything we're teaching, because I want to do this with integrity and I want to walk the talk. And we had to really commit to that, of kind of making our relationship as best as it could be so that we could teach from this place.
Absolutely. I feel like there is this piece of foundational integrity that you have to have when you're speaking to all of you about sexuality and love and relationships. Absolutely. And I do feel like that's been helpful, actually, in terms of making sure that we try and do our very best.
Yeah, bring our A game.
Yeah.
And in the beginning, we didn't tackle relationships because we were in our late 20s. We were new to our relationship with one another. And while we had had other committed relationships, we didn't want to be that punk ass 20-some-year-old trying to tell people what works in a marriage. And now I feel like, you know, we're 10 years later, we're married. We got married on our 7th anniversary. So 3 years ago, we got legally married. But really, we've been living a life completely together for 10 full years. We now have a child who's 2 years old, and I feel like we've matured into a new phase of our relationship where I do feel like there's a lot of insight and wisdom to share, not only from our relationship, but from all of our friends' relationships and the relationships of the people we've worked with. And I want to explore today this idea of our values-based relationship, because I think that's what we committed to early on. And in a lot of conversations recently, we've realized that we've really crafted our life based on our values rather than any other force, over the pursuit of money, over the pursuit of success, over family values, over cultural values. We've really crafted our own set of values within our relationship and made our biggest life decisions based on those values. Does that sound like a good starting point?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the things I love about relationships or how we've crafted our relationships is that we've been in this conversation about what is this living, breathing entity that we have between us that we're creating and co-creating. And I think having space to have those conversations of what do we care about in the world? What kind of life do we want to live? How do we support one another in doing that? Is a really exciting, exhilarating, fascinating, complicated, messy conversation to have that has a lot in it. And I think if all of us can be in those conversations with our partner, we create a really different life.
It takes you off of autopilot.
Yeah.
Where you're just kind of going through your career and looking for a raise and you're buying a house and then a bigger house and upgrading your appliances to stainless steel. And, you know, there's this script that we can all follow if we're not careful. And society is very quick to give us that script. And a lot of it is around consumerism. A lot of it is about heteronormativity. And we know that a lot of people that listen to this podcast are craving something else. They're craving a little bit of a life outside of the box, creating their own relationship, their own sexuality based on their own terms. And our relationship, these value conversations started right away because when we got together, I was polyamorous. I was in this kinky community going to sex parties every weekend. And all of a sudden, when we started dating and after our first kiss, I had this moment where I was like, I don't really want to do all of that anymore. How are we feeling about monogamy? How are we feeling about polyamory? Do we want to be in an open relationship? And so I think on our second or third date, we went to the Cockadoodle Cafe.
In Oakland.
In Oakland, California. I remember this breakfast so well. And we sat there and talked about how we want to start our relationship. Do we want to be open? Do we want to try devotion? And that's when this value of devotion first surfaced in our conversation. And it's been a thread that's woven throughout our relationship. We've never said we are monogamous for the rest of our life and we're only going to be with each other and how dare you not kiss anyone else. It's really been about this theme of devotion and how I want to commit my time and energy to you exclusively until that's not interesting anymore. And 10 years on, it's still interesting. So what does that word devotion mean to you right now?
Well, I think you really brought that to me. And it's such a beautiful term and such a beautiful concept and idea. And living it for a decade has been really fascinating and complicated. Or not complicated. I mean, so this last year, Chris has been really ill. Some of you may have
followed. Was it episode 200 I think about that?
Yeah. So this has been a year. I mean, we've been practicing devotion for a decade, but this last year has really been this moment where I have had to step up my game and hustle with as much heart as possible and live devotion and live like taking care of you, taking care of our 1-year-old child, 1 to 2. You know, those years, it's just been full on of like, let me give you massage every day, let me make sure we have stock cooking, make me make sure we have all of our practical needs taken care of and taking care of your body and giving you space for what you need and ask, you know, try and have conversation. Oh, it's been intense, but it's...
And are you talking about that as devotion because it wasn't like the funnest, sexiest time of our relationship, and yet that devotion, that commitment to loving me is what brought you through each day? Is that
totally what you're relating to it? I think so. I think that there's devotion in the earlier years where it was just about, and you always framed it as time and energy, and I really love that as a understanding of what we're offering one another.
That was true. We'd go to a sex party together, trying out that lifestyle together, and all I wanted to be doing was talking to you and kissing you and making love with you. And so I was like, why are we here? Why aren't we cozy at home? And it was really about that focus of time and energy, that it wasn't spread out. It wasn't like, ooh, what's the hot next thing I can be doing? Ooh, what's this exciting thing on the horizon? It was like you were my entire field of vision and my heart just had room for you. And I had to make a lot of phone calls in that early stage and be like, I'm not available to play anymore. I'm not available to be your lover anymore. I've met someone and a lot of hearts were broken and a lot of people were sad about that. But that was my truth in that moment, was my time, my focus, my energy is on you. And I think what we're seeing in this conversation is 10 years later, by being devoted to one another, by being committed, we've arrived at a place where when my body was failing me, when my spirits were low, when I needed love and care the most, all of your time and energy and focus was about me, and that was okay. You weren't looking around distracted by what's sexy, what can I be doing, who could I be hooking up with. It was really, this is my person, and I'm going to take care of you. And for people who are in open relationships out there, these are not mutually exclusive, right? Like, you can be devoted and in an open relationship. I don't want to set that up, that it's exclusive, but what we've found is that through that 10 years of devotion and coming back to that value over and over again, it reminds us that it's a choice. And I think that's the key here for devotion. It's not required. It's not like we started dating, therefore everyone else is uninteresting to you. It's we have made a choice over and over again to focus on loving one another as our life value. And it's been a very full ride. Yeah. So when we're thinking about our values-based life together, I think one of the things we've noticed is recognizing that there are multiple phases within a relationship, that it's ever-changing, and to fully honor each phase. I was thinking about this the other day when we were talking about having been married for 3 years and when we chose to get married and why, and I was remembering within the first year of our relationship, gay marriage became legal in California. And we were parked in Oakland and walking to our grocery co-op and doing that lesbian grocery shopping thing. And we heard this on the radio and I kind of looked at you like, eh, you want to get married? All the queers are doing it. And you said to me, let's just be in this stage. Let's really enjoy dating right now. Let's enjoy being new to each other. There's no rush to get married. Why did you say that? And what has that meant to you? And how many phases have we been through, baby?
That was so wise.
Why?
Because I feel like there is no rush to get through the phases. Each phase is so important and valuable. And I think this culture is so based on getting to the next level and that that is what success means, that we often don't enjoy and appreciate the phase that we're in. And that's a real loss to enjoying your life. Like, I have such appreciation looking back on our young 20s, being in the Bay Area and going to sex parties and living a wilder life than we live now in the woods in New York with a little baby, you know? And I'm grateful that I have those memories and that we really did that as fully as we wanted to do at that time. And adventuring and being free and...
And what does this idea of phases mean to you now that we're married? Because it's, in our culture, marriage is kind of, you're done, like you're married, and then until you get divorced or you die, you're married. So how can we approach this value of honoring different phases now that we're a married couple of parents?
I mean, I think it's so significant still. I mean, we're parents of a toddler and life looks really specific right now.
Yeah, I guess kids teach you a lot about phases.
Yeah, that like we just choose not to go out as much at night anymore. And that's our choice because we want to parent in a specific way. And we know these years are short. We tried really hard to get pregnant. And so we are really appreciating it and grateful for it. And we know that in 5 years, in 10 years, we're going to have a lot more freedom and we're going to be doing a lot more things. And so we are snuggling and hanging out with our little kid. And that is really fulfilling in a really specific way. But when we're doing it, we are trying not to wish we were doing something else. And I think that's the key with phases. It's like, just try and do it as fully as you can, because then it's going to be over. And when you're in them, they feel like they last for ages. And they're just, this is what your life is. But the truth is, it is always changing. And sometimes it's slow. And so it's almost like you don't notice it. But whatever you're in right now is going to end. And that is scary or exciting, depending on what phase you're in. But I just have a whole new appreciation for honoring that and knowing that and being okay with that.
Yeah, I've had moments of wishing I could take you out to fancier dinners and our friends are having an awesome party that we could go to, but it doesn't start till 9 o'clock. And there's these moments of longing for something else. And the value of honoring phases brings me back to the present moment, reminds me that whole new things are possible in 5 years and 10 years. And if we're committed to each other, we'll get there. So come back to the present moment, enjoy this phase fully, and make this phase as rich and as lovely and as beautiful as possible. And I think in relationships in general, we need to remember that, because a lot of people report feeling stuck. They're in a rut. They're bored. They long for something else. And there's this beautiful harmony between creating change in your life and moving your life forward and crafting the life that you want, while really savoring and appreciating where you are right now without things having to change for you to be happy.
That is so true. And I think it's one of actually the keys to happiness and fulfillment, the noticing the difference between your craving and your desires and what you want to create versus I'm not happy right now and I wish I could have this. I think that mind game is one of the most dangerous internal games you can play, because it makes you not appreciate, not notice what you have going on right now, and imagine that this grass is always greener thing, this thing that you're imagining would be beautiful and perfect. And I think people do that in relationships all the time, and I think it's crippling. And you got to stop yourself. It's a very natural thing to do in this world. We're shown images all the time of beautiful couples looking happy, of movies and all of these, and whether that's your past, your imagined future, and learning to train your mind not to go there is really an important tool for having an actually happy relationship.
So let's talk about another value that we hold dear, which is novelty. Because you and I both crave novelty.
Yeah.
Research shows that novelty is one of the best ways to strengthen a relationship. Novelty releases hormones in your brain that create pleasure, create bonding experiences. So how do we approach the value of novelty without always longing for the grass is greener type stuff?
So this is a big one for us because, as you said, we have played with a lot of humans. We've had a lot of sexual novelty, and this is our world now. And so part of the way that we have really taken that seriously is, for instance, there was one time where we were thinking about moving to this. We love living in rural spaces, but we also like novelty. So we were thinking about moving to this really rural town, and we were kind of pretty far into that potential move. And at a certain point, we kind of looked at each other and we were concerned that if we had so little input around us in a way that we would turn to cheating, that it was possible that we'd find our novelty in another person if there wasn't enough stimulation around that we could access. And so we made a different move. We stopped that move and we decided to move somewhere else where there was a lot more stuff around. There was still rural, but we could go to towns and go do road tripping nearby. New York City is 2.5 hours away. We actually moved to a place as part of cheating prevention because we felt like there was just so much more we could do together that would feel new and exciting and interesting, but we would still do it together. And I think that's kind of an interesting thing, that we just know that we like newness and exploring the world, and that's not other people's bodies, it's the world right now.
And when we feel that itch, we'll say to each other, I just want to do something new, and we'll go to a different town, we'll go to a different cafe, and that it can be just that, going to a different place to have a cup of coffee. But in that moment, we get to see new things, see new colors on the wall, stumble into new things. This moment of serendipity, it's opening yourself up to the possibility of adventure. And sometimes those adventures are meh.
Yeah.
And the coffee sucks and we laugh at it and we drive home and we're like, oh, it's so nice to be home. And other times our little adventures take us to really amazing places that may become a favorite and we revisit and may not. And I think this principle of actively seeking novelty together, and that goes beyond little road trips. That's, I think, the clearest way we do it. But we're always learning new things. We listen to different podcasts. We dip into different books. And then we talk about these new ideas. And this newness is really important for me and has kept our relationship interesting. Like, I love those moments where our conversation takes us to a place we've never been before. I learned something new about you after 10 years. And it feels fresh. So I think this is a principle that a lot of people can incorporate into their lives, whether it's getting out of your routine and going somewhere new, or trying a new skill, however you can create that novelty to create a fresh take on the world together I think is really important.
And that's true. And I feel like we get them in different ways. Like mine primary is I really need to be seeing and being in new worlds, as we were talking about. And you really
You're more visual.
And more visual and kinesthetic. And you really need new ideas and new conversation. And that's been a challenge in our relationship at different points. You're like, I really need you to keep my brain interested.
Talk to me about something. So,
and yeah. that sometimes is challenging, especially these moments where I'm like, we have a new kid. I'm breastfeeding all night. Like, I'm not feeling that fascinating right now. And so that has been a challenge for us, but it's something that is really important to you. It's one of your key values. And at different points you've joked, you know, like, you need to keep me interested. And I think that other relationships maybe don't say that as overtly, but I think it's the truth. In relationships, you have to keep one another interested and know what makes that person feel alive and interested. And for you, that's like idea conversation. And that is challenging for me. So it's important to know how to identify those values of each other's. It's important to identify what is most important to your partner and see where you can challenge yourself to be bigger, be more interesting, be more like meet them where they need their novelty.
Yeah, or at least game to participate. So I think right. what I do a lot now is I listen to different podcasts and I say, here's what I just learned. What do you think about that?
And that's helpful.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, okay, I can talk about this. Sometimes I'm just not generating new ideas yeah. in the way that you require. So understanding each other's craving for novelty and what area of life it's in yeah. and then going for it.
Yeah. And I'll go to an art gallery with you and be a little bored and then you'll swoon over a specific color blue. And I'll be like, tell me what you find so interesting about that color blue. What is it that's making you shine in this moment? What's another value we live our life on, my dear?
Well, when we got married, we decided to commit to... We really had this conversation of what are our three, because we figured that was basically as much as we could remember.
Our values, our vows.
Our vows. We wanted to have three main vows.
Charlotte was so cute. She was writing her vows, and we were preparing, and she comes to me, and she's like, I have 28 pages of vows. Is that too many? I was like, yes, dear, I think that's a few too many. Because it bothers me when you go to a wedding and they do the ceremony and have this big party and it's all expensive. And then you talk to the couple a year later and I say, how are you doing on your vows? Because vows are really important to me. That's what it's about, right? And the couple's like, oh, I don't even remember what we said. That bothers me to no end. To me, a marriage is about the vows. That's what the ceremony is based on. The party is gravy. And so for us, it was really important to have vows that we could remember, that we could hold one another accountable to. So after 28 pages of revisions, we said, let's come up with three words that we can remember and commit to and hold one another accountable to. So what were those three words?
We decided to commit our life to cherish one another, to support one another, and to adventure with one another.
Pick one.
Love is assumed, by the way. We thought that was, like, assumed.
Well, I don't know if it's assumed that's how we chose to love each other.
Mm.
That was the design of our love.
Ooh.
So let's start with cherish. What does that mean to you?
That means to me that we are really specifically choosing to honor and notice, pay attention to the contours of you specifically as a person. Who you are, what you love in the world, how can I bring out the best in you? How can we make time for you to cultivate what's most important for you in life? Who do you want to become? It's paying attention to who you specifically are, because I think both of us have this idea that we're not so committed to this idea that there's one soulmate that is yours forever and you find them and then life is peachy keen. I feel like there's a bazillion people, frankly, you could have an amazing life with. Not a bazillion. There's quite a number of people you could probably have a beautiful life with, and we have chosen each other for a whole host of reasons and timing and chemistry. And so with this choice, and that's what marriage is, in we are blessed in this time and place that it is a choice for us, we wanted to notice one another and pay attention to one another. Yeah, so cherish is really paying attention to the other person and them and noticing their specific gifts and values and acknowledging them and making space for them.
Yeah, and for me, cherishing also brings us back to not taking one another for granted. And I think that's a big thing in a long-term relationship, is all of the reasons you chose one another can fade to the background and you just take for granted the fact that you specifically, Charlotte, are kind, are one of the most generous people I know, are one of the most loving people I know, see beauty in the world all around you. And if I take that for granted, when you swoon over that color blue, it could be easy for me to be like, yeah, let's just go. Drink your free wine and let's go. But if I'm cherishing you, I notice that of all the people in the gallery, you are the one that's lighting up at this color blue. You're the one that's really soaking it in and enjoying it and feeling this moment of vitality and aliveness because you see this specific color. And if I'm cherishing you as an individual, I will engage with you in that moment. I will honor it and I will sink into that moment and find out what it means to you. And this plays out in so many parts of our life, but the experience of being cherished, I think, helps me stay true to who I am. It helps me stay confident in who I am. And it helps me remember my gifts to the world, because someone I love is loving me so fully for who I am specifically. Therefore, I must be worthy. I must be valuable. And that experience of feeling so fully aware of who you are and what you mean, not only to you as an individual, but through that love to the world, I think has helped me really stay on track with my life. And in these moments where, you know, money is tight and I'm doubting this, and should I just go work for some corporation, or is this going to work, or are we going to ever get pregnant? And these moments of despair that hit us through life, if I come back to the experience of, you know, Charlotte believes in me. She believes in us. She believes in our relationship. And because I respect you so fully, I have to respect your opinion. I didn't marry no fool, right? Like, we're in this together. And that experience of mutually cherishing one another as full individuals helps us give our gifts to the world and be those individuals more fully for everyone in our lives. Yeah?
I love it.
And that takes us to support.
Yeah, this might sound very unsexy as a value within a relationship, but I think that it is so fundamental, and I think it's part of what takes a relationship from like a sexy, loving relationship into the family realm of like, we are kin, whatever happens sexually in our world, let us look after each other and each other's bodies, and what can I do to support you becoming your best self and sharing your gifts with the world? What do you need for that?
In each and every moment, each and every day, asking that question.
Yeah, and in each phase as well, because that is also changing. And I think that it's kind of the kale of values. You know, it's sort of like not that sexy or exciting, but I think it's so important to our health as a relationship. And I think that it's also a really easy one to forget about. I think we're so kind of focused in a way on ourselves in the world that when we take time to really look at and prioritize, how can I support you? And then somebody else is doing that for you. It's kind of like becoming a superhero. No, but I mean, it like activates your superhero powers, I think, because you get so much care and you're getting cared for in this way that is really profound and allows for so much more.
And this plays out in the micro and in the macro, right? So in those little moments of, I think it's cold out, I'm anticipating your need that you might need a blanket tonight, I'm going to bring you one before you even have to ask for it, because I know you and I know you run cold. And that's one way. Or you're starting to express interest in more yoga training, and our life isn't at the place right now you can go to 1,000-hour yoga training, but I find a good website or book and pass it along because I know it's something you want to be fed. And that kind of constant flow of, I know what you're interested in, I know what you're engaged in, I know the questions you're asking, and I'm going to bring some of my resources to feeding that and saying, yes, go for it, explore. And then, of course, in these huge moments, like when my health was failing this year, and you stepped up and took care of me in my hardest moments, not only getting me to the hospital and saving my life in that moment, but for the many months of recovery since then, taking care of me while taking care of our young child, while taking care of your elderly mother, and just going fully into that role of, I'm going to do everything I can to bring you back to health and vitality because you matter, because I care. And being on the receiving end of that level of support, the life-sustaining level of support, I've never felt so loved. And as you say, it's not the sexiest time of our relationship. It's not the most exciting. In fact, it was very dull lying in bed for so many hours a day. But I've never felt so loved, and I've never felt so supported. And what I knew is that on the deepest level, if you didn't love me as much as you did, you wouldn't be taking care of me as well. You would be looking for the little outs. You'd be kind of half-assing it. You'd be maybe looking for excuses to make me feel bad about myself. You'd be looking for excuses to make me feel like I'm being lazy rather than I'm just sick and I'm recovering. And the fact that you didn't bring any of that energy to it, it was just this kind of constant beam of you matter. The most you said this to me so many times, the most important thing you can do right now is heal. And hearing that and feeling so supported just on that basic level of being fed and tended to reminded me how much you love me. And as I'm now getting better and moving more into kind of a mutual partnership role of taking care of the house and feeding our kid and all this stuff together, I'm trying to remember to weave in these moments of support, because those micro moments count just as much as the life-saving moments. Bringing you a blanket, bringing you your favorite food, choosing a book for you from the library. All of these moments say, I see you, I've got you, I'm here for you, and I support you in being who you are.
And that is awesome.
I'm wondering how lesbian this all sounds to people. Like, how applicable these things sound to people in heterosexual relationships.
Well, that's kind of why I really want to focus on values, because everyone has their own set of values, and that it might look different to somebody else, but I think...
I hope it does.
Yeah. But I think having those conversations together of, like, what do we most value? What kind of life do we want to live is a really important conversation to have that most of us don't have. And I think then when you organize your life around that, and that takes a while to figure out, maybe... But it's really significant. So, of course...
Let's talk about our last wedding vow, and then we're going to circle back to this and invite people to share their values. But I don't want to skip adventure.
Yeah, and I think...
that's the sexy one.
Yeah, that's the really fun one.
All right, we're cherishing one another. We're supporting one another. What is this adventure piece? What does that mean to you?
I think this is part of the novelty. This is part of, like, committing to creating novelty always, as we can in different stages. As is appropriate at different moments, but valuing, like, seeing the world, seeing, tasting, exploring each other's bodies in anew as the years go on, seeing, yeah, ideas, the world. It's about...
But we didn't choose novelty as our third vow. We choose adventure. And for me, the word adventure specifically has an element of daring. It has an element of... being open to multiple outcomes. Like, when you go on an adventure, you don't know where it's going to take you.
Yeah.
And I think that's really different than just going on a trip where you're going to the same place and you kind of have an expected outcome. And if that outcome doesn't happen, then there's some failure. And our society sets us up for marriage and love being kind of a trip.
Yeah.
A to-do list.
Yeah.
Instead of an adventure. And I really feel like it's important that we approach our relationship and our work. Like, we started this business together. We had no business training. We're like, we don't know what the fuck's going to happen, but let's just try. And let's do it because we care and because we believe in it and because it's something we want to do. And it's been a wild adventure. And it's taken us to places we never thought we'd go. And our relationship, too, I think if we approach it as an adventure, there's no wrong outcome. It's like, all right, let's get our resources together. You know, we have our backpacks full of our values, full of our commitments to one another. And let's just set out and see what happens. And we do that with a spirit of curiosity and with a little bit of courage. And again, this plays out. I remember I've, like, planned out really extensive dates that were very precise in their timing. And then we drive, and the drive was too long, and then we arrive at the place, and it was closed for renovations, and I would get really frustrated, and this was early in our relationship, where I was just like, wanted things to be perfect for you, because I loved you so much, and I wanted to show you how much I loved you, and it was, like, kind of fragile, right? It was like, if this restaurant's not open, then my whole morning has failed, and fuck, and God, and she's not gonna love me as much, and you would just be like, what's around the corner? let's just go have a picnic on the beach. Like, I see a bodega. Let's grab a sandwich. And, you know, you were just up for anything. You were up for the adventure. And you'd always say to me, well, what matters is that we're together. And we'd be sitting in traffic and I'd be fuming at the wheel, like, and you'd be like, we'd be hanging out anyway. We're hanging out now. Let's make this fun. And you really taught me if you just bring this spirit of adventure, then there's no wrong. And we've had these moments. We've been in like 4-hour traffic jams and ended up having this awesome conversation with the guy that was in the truck behind us and like getting in the truck and hearing his sound system and talking about his mother. And, you know, it's like these moments that I now remember were never the ones that were planned. They're never the ones that were like these precisely dialed in specific to-do lists that cause success. Right. And the way our child was born, living in Hudson, New York, like we never thought we'd be in the Hudson Valley. That was never planned. And it's amazing and spectacular and full of unexpected pleasure. And as we go into our next decade together, I really want to remember that we are on an adventure together. There's no specific destination. We don't know what life's going to throw at us. And if we approach it with this spirit of adventure, then we can enjoy it and have pleasure in doing it no matter what it looks like. And that is freaking comforting to me.
And I don't want to give you guys the impression that it's like perfect all the time, right? Like this is all a work in progress.
Secrets revealed.
But I think what I love is you've always said to me, like, let's make our relationship and our life a work of art. And I feel like I find that really inspiring as a goal and a intention to try and create. And it's a creation. And I think that's the important part. It's a creation. It's your own creation with your person.
Should we talk for a minute about what we do when things feel hard?
Sure.
Maybe we could do another episode on this, on how to fight well. But you said like things aren't perfect all the time. We don't want to give the impression that we're like these love geniuses that are like rolling around in bliss constantly. We have our moments.
And we have done a lot of that.
Yes. It's true, but how do we approach it when we're not meeting each other, when we're not feeling cherished, when we're not feeling supported, when doubts creep in? What have our strategies been? I think what my perception of what happens is we both get really sad, and then your sadness reminds me that I really love you. And I'm like, this sucks. How do we get back to where things are good again? And some people say, never fall asleep angry. We've fallen asleep angry. I've fallen asleep in the other room. Sometimes it takes a day or two, but usually it's within a pretty short time frame, within a few hours or minutes sometimes, where we look at each other, we're like, this does not feel good. It doesn't feel good in my body. I feel like I'm getting sick. I feel like my heart is heavy and sad. And what do we need? And sometimes, most recently, a good strategy is we kind of rewound the moment.
Yeah, I liked that.
We did a do-over.
Yeah.
Where I had said something kind of nasty, and then you had said you got defensive, and then it just spiraled into this really ugly place.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, hold on. Do-over. How can I say that differently? I actually meant at the time. How does that change this interaction?
Yeah, we pressed the rewind button.
And it worked.
Yeah, that's a good tool.
We got to a really actually important place and an important conversation that we needed to have, but that wasn't coming out of anger and defensiveness and paranoia. It was coming out of vulnerability and sadness and worry. And that's also the important strategy, is looking at what's underneath your emotion. If you're feeling angry at one another, if you're feeling mad, if you're feeling like accusatory, what's just underneath that emotion? Because usually it's something much more vulnerable, much more tender. And if you can start the conversation from that place instead, it starts from like, I'm hurting right now and I need your love and we need to figure this out together. Instead of, you've done something wrong and I'm not feeling right. And so I think that's a big strategy we've had. We also do goofy things. Like sometimes we'll like leave the room and come back naked in the middle of a fight.
Or we've put on goggles.
Swim goggles and just turn around and be like, hello.
Because you just can't really fight when you're laughing. Or sometimes I'm just like, I just need to stop and have a massive long hug and remember that we are connected and we are a team. Right. We are a team. You're not my opponent.
Yeah.
I just need to like remember that I love you because right now I'm not feeling it.
Remind me with a hug.
Yeah, and touch helps me with that.
Right, and so every couple will have different strategies there, but I think it's important in learning to build a values-based lifestyle, a values-based relationship, to also look at the value of conflict and how do you want to be in conflict with one another? How do you want to negotiate that? What are your rules? Like, what are your ground rules, your house rules for fighting? Yeah. What's okay and what's not okay? Because some people, it's okay to get, like, kind of loud and yell at one another. Like, I can't yell at you.
Right, and I think one time I was like, I hate you, and you were like, that is out of bounds. Yeah. You can never say that. If you really feel that, we need to have a serious conversation about ending this.
Yeah.
If you really, like, if there's some other emotion that you're feeling, we can talk about that.
Right.
And that was a really important conversation. I was like, oh, okay, like, I totally hear what you're saying. So, yeah, it's like figuring out what is, yeah. What
Whereas
is,
some couples would be like, I hate you, motherfucker, and yeah. then, like, have awesome sex.
Right.
You That's, know? Yeah. And I think every couple needs to figure this out, and as we share these values, I want to circle back to what are your values? What is your relationship based on? If you take out the cultural scripts, like, why are you with this person? Why are you committed to them? Why are you sleeping in the same bed with them? Why are you having sex with them? Why are you building a life together? Like, why? Why this specific individual? And what kind of life are you trying to create together? And if you can answer those questions with some simple values, then that can really help you steer your ship.
Yeah.
And it can help you make really big decisions when it feels like you don't have a compass, you don't have a roadmap to your decision. If you return to your values and talk about that as a couple, I think that really good outcomes come from that place of, what are we actually valuing here? Are we valuing a raise, or are we valuing the fact that you hate your commute and you want that 3 hours out of your day back? Because if we value your time more than $10,000 more a year, maybe we'd make a bigger decision here. Or where do we want to live? Or do we want another kid? Or do we want to open up a relationship and have a threesome? Like, however sexy or unsexy these questions are, if you return to your values, they can really steer you in the right direction. And in the direction that's authentic and right for you. And of course, on this podcast, speaking of sex, pleasure mechanics, we really constantly go back to, what is right for you? What is your ideal sex life look like? What does your orgasm look like? What does your best sexual relationship look like? Because there's no universal answer to these things. It's way too personal. And it's really built, like, sexuality is upon a matrix of your life values. And you can't decide what kind of best sex life you want to have if you don't know what you value in life and as a soul and what your faith is. You know, these things really influence one another. So let's all reflect on our values. We'll certainly be doing that today and in coming in the weeks beyond as we celebrate our 10th anniversary. And we invite you to share your values with us. We have an awesome new tool at pleasuremechanics.com/hello, where you can visit that webpage and hit a button and record a message for us. And we encourage you to come over and share a few of your relationship values. What are the values that steer your relationship and your sexuality and your sex life? We'd love to hear from you. Anything else, my love?
I think the idea of having all of these values is to create something that feels exciting for your future and for your present. I think that relationships can, when you feel like you're in, sometimes it feels like they're just going to keep going like they're going, and that's exciting or that's not exciting. But the boring thing that happens is when there's, like, nothing to live into. And I think when you create your vision of what feels exciting and interesting to you guys as a couple, it feels like your future, even though you know who you're going to be with, can feel exciting. And I think that that is so important.
Well, especially when you know who you're going to be with.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing, is, like, I look into my future and I see a lot of unknowns. There's questions. We have aging parents. I know there's hardship ahead. But I know that I'm going to be with you, and because it's you, I feel really excited about it.
Uh-huh.
Because not only do I have an amazing teammate, but I have someone who's kind and who's joyful and who's excited about life and who loves other people. And so it's like, I know our values and who you are as a person, beautifully mixed with who I am as a person, will take us there, and we can get through whatever. And that's been proven this year as my health gave us this huge challenge and a huge loop. But because we were together, we did it, and we stayed in this place of love. And it was hard and challenging and scary as fuck in moments. But because you and me were doing it together, I felt like it was home.
Yeah, yeah.
So what's your home? And if you're not in a relationship, this is a perfect exercise to reflect on what kind of relationship you want. What are your values? Who do you want to be in partnership with? If at all, maybe that answer is just you and your value is being solo in this world. That's okay too. So reflect
and revise.
Come on over to pleasuremechanics.com/hello. Record us a message. You can just say happy anniversary. We'd love to hear your voice. Wishing us another amazing 10 years together as a couple and as the Pleasure Mechanics, because that's really one and the same for us. We live every day exploring sexuality and love and relationships so we can bring you amazing strategies to have a happier life. And we love hearing from you and hearing your stories and your struggles. And that's really what we're all about day in and day out. Here in the woods, the trees are turning beautiful colors right now. Winter is upon us.
Mm.
The cashmere sweaters are coming out and we're ready for a winter of cuddles.
I feel like it's so crazy. We've done this whole episode without talking about touch and massage as like a central value, as a central part of how we keep our relationship warm, which is a phrase we've used in many other podcasts.
I think we'll do another episode.
Yeah, but I just want to say that that is also a central part of how we stay connected to keep our relationship affectionate and loving and ready at any moment to be sexy.
Let's talk another moment about the physical part, because this is really about our values, our soul values. We'll talk about what we do in the bedroom another time. All right, guys. I'm Chris.
I'm Charlotte.
We're the Pleasure Mechanics.
Wishing you a lifetime of pleasure.
Cheers. Happy anniversary, dear.